Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, the Master of the National Maternity Hospital, Professor Shane Higgins, is with me in studio this Wednesday afternoon for Making Babies. How are you doing, Shane?
Very well.
All
Andrea,
good?
Thank you.
Yeah. We are inducing labour today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, well, you missed out, I suppose, at the very beginning.
Yeah. So I think maternity units around the country are seeing more and more patients being induced now than perhaps was the case 10, 15, 20 years ago. And there's lots of reasons for that. There was a guideline published by the Institute of Obstetricians in 2023, which recommended that all women who get to a week past their due date are offered induction of labour. That doesn't mean to say they have to take it, but they should be offered it as part of the care package. We're seeing older women, we're seeing women who've come through IVF programs, we're seeing women with more comorbidities. So that's lent itself to more and more patients being induced. And for regardless of why you're being induced, the process is essentially the same. And to talk you through the process, I refer to it as a three-stage process. It's where you ripen the cervix, you break the waters, and then you start the patient on oxytocin, which builds the contractions over a period of hours. And that whole process can take 2, 3, 4 days to get you to the point of being in labour. So it is a difficult process for patients to go through. You don't always need to start at the very beginning. Some patients, when you go to induce them, the cervix will be already ripened, so you can move from that stage straight on to breaking the waters. And some patients will come in with ruptured membranes where the waters are already gone. And for that group, you just go straight to the oxytocin. So it can mean different things to different people. But if you're starting from the beginning of a process, it is ripen the cervix, break the waters, start the oxytocin.
Why have we moved to offering this to more people? I know you mentioned the guidelines, but is it...
Well, that I think that the guideline, the guideline is one thing. Yeah, so there is a generally held belief that the placenta has a finite lifespan. It'll start to malfunction at a certain point in time. And you're trying to make sure that the baby is, the patient is induced and the baby's born whilst the placenta is still fully functional. So it's to try and get that right. So the guideline moves and, you know, our hospital, the National Maternity Hospital, would and probably still would allow patients to go 2 weeks past their due date with careful monitoring to ensure the placenta is working well. And we do that by way of measuring the fluid around the baby, looking at the heart rate trace. But if the baby's well and happy, you can go beyond that term plus seven. But the other reasons are patients are getting older, they have comorbidity, so patients with diabetes, patients with other medical conditions, but also patients themselves are saying, I don't want to go 2 weeks past my due date anymore. I want to be induced earlier.
Yeah, okay. So you offer it to people by way of a guideline. Some people will ask for it.
Yes,
naturally,
absolutely.
They'll want it.
Yeah.
And others will just say, no, I'll hold out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just speaking to some of your staff in the room there, that's something that, you know, they... if that's what a patient wishes to do. And I have my own patients who would say, can I wait another few days? And the absolute answer is yes, unless there's a clear medical indication not to.
How is labour affected, or is it, after, if you've been induced?
Well, if you take, say, 100 women who go into labour by themselves, who are pregnant for the first time in our hospital, and we're very, very careful about monitoring statistics in our hospital. If you go into labour by yourself, you're a first-time labourer, you have a cesarean section rate of about 10 to 12%. And that's a figure that's remained quite static in our hospital for two decades. So the care that we're providing to women who come in labour hasn't changed, and they do very well. If you take 100 women who are pregnant for the first time and you induce them, their cesarean section rate's 40+%.
So if you've been induced in your first pregnancy, you have a 40% chance of
having a cesarean section rate. Now, I would be cautious in saying that you're not comparing apples with apples, because within that group who are being induced, you have women with high blood pressure problems, women with big babies, women with small babies, and then you've got the diabetic patients, for example. So it's not quite comparing like with like. But again, it's a generally well-held belief that if you're induced, you have a higher chance of intervention, whether it's a cesarean section, whether it's instrumental delivery. So there is a greater chance of something needing to be done if you're induced.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have a question for Professor Shane Higgins today. Sorry, did you give a duration for how long it takes?
Well, for some patients, it can take several days. For some patients, and again, if you've had a baby before, and you've had a vaginal delivery, you can be induced and delivered in the same day. And that's often the case with patients that we refer to as multiparous, which means they've labored before. But if you're a primiparous patient who's laboring for the first time, it can take 2, 3, 4 days.
Now, where does a sweep come into this?
OK, so a sweep is described in the guideline, which you can download from the RCPI website. So a sweep is a method of trying to avoid the whole pharmacological intervention by way of induction. So I often describe it to my patients as you're standing at the edge of the cliff and you're about to fall over. This is the finger that just pushes you over the edge of the cliff. So a sweep is where you stretch the cervix and sweep the membranes in the hope of producing enough chemicals to just push the patient over the brink and into labour. So the patient has to be very close to going into spontaneous labour at that point in time. And if it's going to work, it'll work in the 24 hours after you've done the sweep. And if you go into labour beyond that point, then the sweep probably had no impact. But it's a way in which you can offer patients an intervention, which is a vaginal exam and a sweep, a stretch of the cervix and a sweep of the membranes, to try and avoid being brought in for that whole intervention of, you know, ripening the cervix, breaking the waters.
So it's the sort of the sweep is the pre induction, is it?
It's an attempt, it's an offer that you would make pre-induction to see if you can get things going almost but not quite by themselves.
Yeah. Do most women that are beyond their due date go for that?
Yeah, a lot would. Not everyone. A lot of patients just don't like the idea of it and would prefer to, if they have to, go down the road of the induction process. But I think it's something that patients should certainly consider. There's no risk associated with it. It's just a vaginal examination. It may well for many be very uncomfortable, but it might avoid much greater needs.
Is that something you can decide on the day when you're there?
Absolutely.
You don't have to pre-book?
No,
this?
That's done as part of your last antenatal clinic before you're brought in for induction.
Okay, this listener at the moment, Shane, I'm currently 4 days over my first pregnancy. I'm quite uncomfortable. I'm reluctant to go in to be induced, but I'm worried about how much longer I can hold off. So what would Shane Higgins advise?
Well, I think, and again, I've had this conversation with many patients, being patient at this point is increasingly difficult, but I would encourage the patient, provided all is well with her pregnancy, go for that visit if you're due to have one in the next day or two, and get them to assess the fluid around the baby and, if necessary, do a baby's heart rate check by way of a CTG. And if they're both fine, then you absolutely have another few days if you wish to wait a little bit longer.
If you have questions for the Master of the National Maternity Hospital, 087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number. This listener, Shane, said that they had a planned C-section back in August 2024. Yep. My son is now 10 months. Yep. I'm 32. I'd like another baby. How long do I have to wait to start trying for another? I would rather not have a section again.
Well, assuming that this is a spontaneous conception, because if you've gone through an IVF clinic, then they will say you have to wait a year. I certainly advise waiting 6 to 12 months for the integrity of the scar to be back to normal. After that, you can try and get pregnant whenever you like. Important that having had a previous cesarean section, that you have an early scan to establish where the pregnancy is implanted. Because with each successive cesarean section, there is a very small but measurable risk of a low-lying placenta and a condition called placenta accreta. So it's important that patients who've had a previous section have a scan to ensure that the pregnancy is embedded in the right place.
What does an induced labour feel like?
You're probably asking the wrong person. I think for most patients will describe it as it's longer. It would appear to be, when you compare stories from patients who've been induced versus spontaneous, that induction is a longer, more arduous process. You're more likely to have an epidural, you're at greater risk of a failed induction and therefore leading you down the road of a cesarean section. So to be perfectly honest with you, it's something that should be avoided if you can.
If you can. Well, just on that, listeners wondering about things you can do to help the baby come naturally. Any truth to eating curries?
No.
Bouncing on a yoga ball?
No, nothing. I think, you know, if somebody, again, I used what questions I've been asked in my own practice. I think acupuncture, if it's something that you have an interest in, is something that you could try. I think I have a lot of patients who've used acupuncture who feel it has started them to get, you know, their uterus to become irritable and contractile. And that's probably the only thing that, you know, and there's no randomized trial to say it works or doesn't. But all the stories that you hear about cod liver oil, curries, yoga balls, lunges, squats.
Sex is the other one.
Sex. There's an element of truth in that, because the prostaglandins in the seminal fluid do will start that irritating the uterus, causing it to become contractile process. So yeah, there's an element of truth there.
Shane, I'm due shortly with my third baby, says this listener. First two babies came by spontaneous labour, both overdue, 7 days and 2 days. Mm. I now want to avoid induction with this baby if I go over, as I'm in my 40s. So any advice?
Yeah, again, so, you know, that's one of the cutoffs that's used to kind of say, oh, you need to be induced around about your due date. But that isn't necessarily the case. And again, go back to first principles. If the baby's well, the placenta isn't going to fail in a matter of 24 hours. It takes a period of time to fail. So if you go in, get your fluid measured, get the baby's heart rate trace done, go back in 2 days, have the same thing done, you can certainly go 4 or 5 days without any concern before you might need to have that conversation about induction.
What do you do if your waters break early?
If you early or before you go into labour?
Before labour.
Well, that's the term SHRAM means that your waters have gone after 37 weeks. And that's one of the presentations that women will have if they think they're going into labour. Your waters go, you're not getting any pains. Therefore, that's putting you on a timeline to, if you don't go into labour by yourself, you're going to be induced. So that's the group that I referred to at the start, where if you come in, your waters are gone, you don't get any pains, you go straight to oxytocin, then usually within about 24 hours of the waters going, because there's the longer that period, the greater the risk is of an infection in the uterine cavity.
Listeners wondering, my first baby went 10 days over. Mm. I'm now 8 months pregnant. Is it likely they'll go over as well? Do you think I can make it 10 days again?
Well, first of all, you had what I would refer to as a term delivery. Term being that window from 37 to 42 weeks. So if somebody says, or you're probably not going to hear it from a patient, but if somebody uses the word or the expression a term delivery, that's what they mean. Your patient is most likely, or the patient who's called in, is most likely to have another term delivery, which is anywhere from 37 to 42 weeks. If she wants to go past her due date beyond the 7 days, absolutely, again, same rules apply.
Okay, and this listener looking for your thoughts on balloon inductions versus pessary induction.
Okay, so the balloon induction isn't the induction. The balloon is the ripening. So there's a number of different ways in which the cervix can be ripened. The balloon is a method that we use. We also use rods called dilapan, which are hydrophilic rods. So you put two or three into the cervical canal and then they absorb fluid over a period of time and stretch the cervix open. The alternative to that is to use pharmacological methods like Prostin gel or a Prostin pessary. They all serve the same purpose, which is to get the cervix from being a 3 centimetre long canal to being paper thin and start to open. That's called effacement and dilatation. And that needs to happen before you can break the waters, which is the next step in the induction process.
Yeah, it's incredibly interesting, Shane, to hear the whole process that's involved with induced labour. We've a lot of listener questions we didn't get time to get round to today. We will keep them, though, because you're going to be back in 2 weeks. You're not coming to Sligo, unfortunately. We can't bring Holly Street to Sligo with us. But
I didn't make the cut.
No, next Wednesday afternoon, but you'll be back in 2 weeks, of course, at 12:40 here in Lunchtime Live. If you've questions, if you've in particular topics around pregnancy, actually, that you would like Shane Higgins to address or chat about, drop us an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. But for the moment, Master of the National Maternity Hospital, Shane Higgins, thanks a million.
Pleasure.
For joining us on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.